It's Andy Parks live from the Washington Times on 7:30 a.m., 102.9 FM, WTNT, and I'm joined once again by Washington Times reporter Rowan Scarborough, who has written a piece in today's Times entitled Military Brass Marching to Obama's Beat. Hello, Rowan. How are you?
Hey, Andy. Doing great.
Good. The president has something of a faithful following in the military. Well, isn't that the way it's supposed to be, or is this more political?
Well, obviously they're supposed to salute or resign, but if you look at the amount of material that the Pentagon is flowing over to Capitol Hill on what-ifs, and we're going to have to cut this and let these people go, and this project here won't work, and this project over here in Florida is not going to work, they have really gotten caught up in the opinion of some on the Hill in the White House spin machine.
Mm-hmm.
They have gone beyond giving lawmakers a general scenario of what's going to be cut and what they can't do. And now they're really getting into all politics is local, and they're getting into right down to the district and how many people are going to be laid off and how many MilCon jobs aren't going to work. Obviously, in the opinion of staffers on the Hill, this is coming right out of the White House.
Mm-hmm.
This is the kind of scare tactics that have began at the White House and now are flowing over to Capitol Hill. And some staffers are starting to get a little offended about the hard sell. And maybe the chiefs ought to say enough is enough. I mean, we'll lay out to Congress what we think is going to happen. But in terms of being caught up in this big, massive spin machine throwing briefings over every day, that's not what the Pentagon does.
Yeah. And the military that appears to be caving, giving in to the president, much like the Republicans in the House of Representatives.
That's right. Tax increase, no spending cuts. Andy, it's not just sequestration. I mean, on women in land combat, that's a very, very big step to take. When many, many commanders have judged that, trying to fit, 100, 110-pound woman into infantry and all the things they have to carry and how far they have to march and how well they have to be able to run, yet the chiefs have accepted this wholeheartedly, and in fact, the Marine Corps was first out of the gate. They couldn't wait to get two women officers into officer infantry school, which is really, really tough, ahead of the other three services. And what happened? The two Marine women flunked out. They didn't even come close to finishing the course. So this is what I'm talking about. This is the Joint Chiefs of Staff that has really embraced Obama to the degree which, in the opinion of some staffers, that they have gotten right into the spin machine and away we go. And they're even opining now in interviews about gun control. Now, when was it the job of the members of the Joint Chiefs of Staff to give opinions to the American public on what federal gun control legislation ought to be? That's generally not a military question. That's not a military advice question. That comes from law enforcement and the FBI. So there's grumbling about that also.
All right, so how much of this with the higher-ups in the military could be attributed to self-preservation? You know, they're worried about the completion of their career. They don't want to ruffle any feathers as they come to a close and look forward to their pension.
Yeah, well, that's right. I mean, all of these chiefs will have a legacy, and they don't want their legacy to be that they had to kill this and that program and had to bring down another division in order to meet this 10-year plan for cutting. And so they're, in a sense, they and Obama are now, their fates are now tied very, very closely, because Obama wants to avoid sequestration by just raising taxes, and he's out there pounding the drum on what this is going to do to the military. And that fits in with the chief's arguments, and it will preserve what they're trying to preserve. So their fates are tied, and how this turns out is going to affect the chief just as much as it does Obama.
Let me ask you something. You've been around this town a long time. Have you ever seen a president use the military as a backdrop so much?
Well, Bush, during the height of the war, Bush made a lot of trips to bases around the country to meet the troops. And I don't think there's anything wrong with that. I think when you keep it in terms of national security and away from politics, then it's okay. So I would not fault Obama into playing the defense card. I would not fault him. I think what some people on the Hill complain about, again, is the amount of lobbying that the chiefs and the services are doing with their minutia of scary numbers on what's going to happen in Florida, California, Utah, the 3rd District in Maryland. And this is where they think they've gotten wrapped up into the spin machine.
All right, so now we have Chuck Hagel at the Defense Department, and I'm thinking Obama has his man there as well.
Without a doubt. I mean, if there is a defense secretary who's not going to push back, it's Chuck Hagel. I mean, he is a product of the White House. He's been out there in the netherworld of think tankdom. He's never really, managed something this large. He's never managed any other government department. He said one time as a senator that you really don't have to do much to be a senator. And he was a creation of the White House. And if Panetta ever gave them pushback on stuff behind closed doors, you're not going to get that from Chuck Hagel. In fact, I think there is a pattern with this White House that they do not like pushback from the four stars and from people in the Pentagon. And that's, in the opinion of some, that's why they went for Joseph Dunford, the Marine general, to be the next commander in Afghanistan, because his 2 years is going to be a constant debate about how many troops do we keep in Afghanistan. And if they had gone to maybe another general, like General Rodriguez, who had been in Afghanistan and who believes we need to keep forces there for a longer amount of time, they would have gotten pushback. So I think that's one of the hallmarks of this administration. You know, James Jones, the Marine Corps four-star who was the National Security Advisor, he did not last very long. And he liked to push back on some issues. So, Bob Woodward now knows what it's like to go against the White House. They don't like that, and they bristle, and they get their, the liberal media allies come to their defense often.
Yeah, and we've seen that firsthand over the past week, haven't we, with this whole Woodward thing. All right, well, listen, folks, if you haven't checked out the story, please do it. It's in today's Washington Times, Military Brass Marching to Obama's Beat. It's by Rowan Scarborough. Rowan, thanks for being with me. Have a great weekend.
Yeah, you too, Andy.
528, 730 AM, 102.9 FM, WTNT. It's Andy Parks live from the Washington Times.